action and self-control and set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you once lived in ignorance. Just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in those last times for your sake. Through Him, you believe in God who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. Open your copy of the Scriptures to 1 Peter 1, to the passage that I just read, 1 Peter 1, beginning at verse 13. While you're turning there, let me remind you that we are so glad that our college students are back and ready to begin school tomorrow. I know that we have many college students with us this morning and their families. We're grateful you're here. It is our prayer that your school year is going to be a great one. We'd like to have a special evening of welcome for you this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Our fellowship here is going to prepare a lot of freezers of homemade ice cream. Brothers and sisters, are you listening? A lot of freezers of homemade ice cream. And in addition to that, some cookies and brownies. Brothers and sisters, are you listening? A lot of freezers of homemade ice cream and cookies and brownies. And Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to meet out here on the lawn and have a time of fellowship and fun, and we want to invite not only all the college students who are here this morning, but we want you to pass the word on to those you know and bring a lot with you. And this Wednesday night at 7, we'll begin our time together of this new year. In addition to the passage I just read from 1 Peter 1, I'd like you to drop down with me in chapter 2 and read verses 9 and following. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Peter Jennings, in his book, The Pursuit of Holiness, said he was reading 1 John and studying the second chapter in particular. And that as he studied 1 John chapter 2, it dawned on him that John was saying, make it your life's aim not to sin. He said, as I read that and that truth dawned on me, make it your life's aim not to sin, he said, I was convicted in my spirit because down deep I had to admit that my aim in life was not to sin very much. He said, as I thought about that, not to sin very much, I thought about what success would a soldier had would have if he went into battle with the goal of not being hit very much? Or what about a surgeon who grabbed a scalpel that was not very much defiled? He said the thought is ludicrous. And for those of us who follow Jesus Christ and who claim to be following a holy God, for us to have it as our life's aim not to sin very much is to miss the point of what holiness is. Last week we studied from Isaiah 6 about a holy God. We said that term in the Hebrew and the one in the Greek in the New Testament is a term that describes God's otherness, God's separateness, God's uniqueness to anything in all creation. And this morning as we come in 1 Peter 1 and 2, Peter says, because our God is holy, because our God is separate and apart from and different from and unique to everything in creation, so God calls His people to be holy. People want to talk a great deal about the blessings of grace. They want to talk about the gifts of grace. And certainly those are subjects we ought to talk about. But sometimes we fail to realize that grace not only has certain privileges and gifts attached, it also has a demand attached. And Peter addresses the demand in 1 Peter 1. You see, he's just talked about the gifts of grace in the early part of the chapter. That because of grace, we have been born again into a living hope, verse 3. We have now a sure inheritance, verse 4. Because of grace, we have divine protection, verse 5. Because of grace, we have a developing and refined faith, verses 6 and 7. And because of grace, we have a guaranteed deliverance. But now he turns to the demand of grace. Because you are a people of grace, be holy. Be holy. Holiness affects the way you think. He starts off by saying, prepare your minds for action. Brothers and sisters, holiness, the battle for holiness is going to be won or lost in the mind. It's going to be won or lost in the mind. You see, if we aren't thinking like holy people, we will never be successful at being a holy people. Remember what Paul said in the Roman letter in Romans chapter 12? He said, do not be conformed to this world. I like the way one version puts it. Do not let yourself be pressed into the world's mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your, what? Mind. Holiness affects the way you think. It affects your behavior. He says, be self-controlled. You see, the Christian who has decided that he is going to be, as his life's aim, one who refuses to sin, who decides to be separate and apart from the world, he is going to be self-controlled. His behavior is going to set him apart from the world. And his hope, Peter says, is set upon grace in the day that Christ shall return. But the question begins to come, Peter, if we're going to be holy, tell us why we should be holy. Remind us why we are a holy people. And he gives us four reasons why. Number one, he says you ought to be holy because you have been born again. Born again. Notice what he says. In verse 14 of chapter 1, he says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you once had when you lived in ignorance. In verse 23, he says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. He says in chapter 2 and verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you hadn't received mercy, now you've received mercy. He is saying, because you have been born again of the water and the Spirit, God has now given you a new nature, and you ought to live holy lives in accordance with your new nature. We're out in the yard the other day, and we clipped a bunch of limbs off the trees, and we're putting them up and moving them and that sort of thing, and I noticed this great big, fat, hairy caterpillar on one of the branches. A caterpillar is big and fat, and he crawls everywhere he goes. You expect a big, fat caterpillar to crawl everywhere he goes. That's in accordance with his nature. But you see, after metamorphosis takes place and the caterpillar is transformed into a butterfly, you would think it odd that a butterfly crawled everywhere he went. No, he flies because that is in accordance with his new nature. And Peter says, we have been born again, and therefore our lives ought not to look like they once did. We are to be a holy people. We are to be holy because we are living in accordance with a new nature given us by God. But he says there's a second reason why you ought to be holy. You ought to remember that you're going to stand one day before an impartial judge. You see what the Bible says in verse 17? Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially. Peter is saying to an early church, listen, the day is going to come, you're going to stand before an impartial judge. I can almost hear it. Preacher, don't talk to us about judgment. I mean, really, it makes me uncomfortable. You know, talk to me about grace and talk to me about the gifts of grace and compassion and mercy, but don't talk to me about judgment. Let's skip that part and go on to the cafeteria, but don't talk to me about judgment. Listen, brothers and sisters, the day is coming when if you have rejected the way of holiness, you are going to stand before an impartial judge. What does Peter mean by that? It means God is not going to set aside His holiness to let you off the hook because you've opted out of a life of holiness. You ought to be holy because you are going to stand before an impartial judge. But he says you ought to be holy, a third reason. You ought to be holy because your temporary residence here. Look what he says in 2:17. You're to call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially. Because of that, listen, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. And he says down in chapter 2, verse 11, I urge you, friends, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from the sinful desires which war against your soul. Brothers in Christ, listen, the first century church understood that we were on temporary assignment here. One church historian said about the early church, they outthought, they outlived, and they outdied anyone on the planet. They were like a light set upon a hill. They were living like a paradise island in the midst of a cesspool. And whenever people saw the way they lived, they recognized them to be different from anyone they ever encountered. And when it came time to die, and some of them were dragged off to be crucified or burned at the stake, some of them were taken into the arenas to be torn apart by animals, and as they went to their deaths, they were smiling and singing and had a gleam of anticipation in their eye. They were about to meet the King. Listen, we need to be a people who outthink, who outlive, and who outdie anybody else on this planet. Because when it comes time for us to die, whether it's by heart attack or cancer or fatigue from old age, whatever it is, the people around us ought to see an anticipation and a faith in us that causes them to step back and shake their heads in awe at a faith like ours. You see, we're to be holy. We're to be holy because God has commanded us to be holy. Fourth reason why we ought to be holy. We ought to remember the price paid for our salvation. Look at verse 18. You know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, but with the precious blood of Christ. Peter says, you want to know why you need to live a holy life? You need to remember the price that was paid to set you free from sin. It cost God all He had. It wasn't like God went to the heaven's vaults and opened the door and emptied it of the silver and gold, the perishable things. It says about God, He gave the most precious gift He had. He gave even His own Son to redeem us. Chester Zuber had been waiting 4 years for a heart transplant. 71 people on the waiting list for a heart transplant in the state of Michigan. And Zuber, through the 4 years, had been going up. He was number one on the list in Michigan. But he was just one of 2,900 plus people on the waiting list for heart transplants in our country. Through the years, his body was continuing to get frail, and it looked as though if a donor wasn't found soon, Chester Zuber was going to die. This past Monday, Chester Zuber received his heart. But it was at the expense of one of the most precious gifts in his life. For the heart transplanted into Chester Zuber this past Monday was the heart of his 22-year-old daughter, Patty, who was killed on Sunday in a car accident. And Zuber said that this was a gift of life, but it was a gift so precious, I almost couldn't receive it. Chester Zuber is doing well this morning following his heart transplant this past week, but the heart that beats inside of him is the heart of his 22-year-old daughter, Patty. Folks, we just need to remember the price that was paid for us. We need to remember the incredible price God paid to set us free. Is it too much to ask that we be a holy people in light of the gift God has given us in Christ? Is it too much to ask that we should be a separate and distinct people from the world in light of the fact God has given His Son for us? The result of a holy church is found in chapter 2 in verse 9. We're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Listen, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. There was a time when the church was the rock in the community. When the major influence in the morals and in the thinking of a community came out of the life of the church. The people that day is long since gone in our country. People shake their heads in laughter and mock the church. Fallen televangelists are front page news. Because of their greed and their immorality, the world stands back and scoffs at the church. And I believe that it's time for the church to stand up and be the church God called us to be. It's interesting to me that men and women today sometimes find more meaning in their work than in their faith. And that they find more power under the hoods of their cars than in a move of God in their lives. And we've got people filling church buildings across our country this morning who were computer geniuses and Bible illiterates, who were managerial giants and moral midgets. And it's time for the people of God to stand up to be God's people, a holy people that lives different from the world. Because God is holy, we are to be holy. And it's time for the church to be holy. It's time for us to say, to do as God said, we are to come apart, be ye separate, and be a different people where the people of the world can see us, and as Peter says in chapter 2, and glorify our Father in heaven. Be holy. Why? Because we've been born again, and we live according to our new nature. And because we're going to stand before an impartial judge, and because we're temporary residents here, we're going to meet the King. And therefore, we're going to outthink, outlive, outdie anybody on the planet. And because we're going to remember the precious price paid for us, even the precious blood of Christ. Let's pray together. Our holy God, make us holy. Make it the desire of our hearts that we may not sin. Forgive us of the attitude and spirit that has made us not want to sin very much, and help us to encounter the genuine article of real holiness. Stir us to be a holy people, Father, and help us to stand up to be your people in this world, that we might declare your praise, that people might see our good works and give glory to you. We pray it in Jesus' name.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble goal? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. For me, because he loved me so. And can it be that I should claim an interest in my Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who scorned his perfect love? Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die for me? You left your Father's throne above, so free and infinite your grace, emptied yourself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die for me?
Amazing love.
Come before your throne to claim your mercy immense and free. No greater love will e'er be known, for oh my God, it found out me. Amazing love, how can my God would die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die, that you, my God, would die, that you, my God, would die.
Praise God. In a moment, we're going to have a prayer for the communion. We just have one prayer for the bread and the cup this morning. I'd like to read for you from the words of Jesus as he spoke to his apostles in the upper room and as he speaks to us today. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And this is my command, to love one another. Would you pray with me, please?
Oh, Lord our God, we come to you now as our minds are turned to Christ, our King. May the words that he spoke stay close to our hearts, and his body be a source of strength. May the bread and the wine receive your blessing, and our hearts feel the pain he bore. Let your Spirit indwell us now as we take, as disciples of Christ we pray. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. We commune with each other in this feast, Lord. We would ask that our hearts be pure. Let your Spirit inhabit all of our praise. As disciples of Christ, we pray.
He forgave and sent her on her way.
She surely went her way and sinned no more.
We must do the same, accept the gift from Him.
The question is, have you made it your life's desire not to sin? By the empowerment of the Spirit of God living in you, that you are set apart to live unto God. It's called holiness. Do you make it your heart's desire? Our holy God invites you this morning to come to Him. He promises you. He will make you holy. That submission unto Him, obedience unto Him, He'll set you apart from the world as His own peculiar treasure. This morning He invites you. Would you come to Him while we stand together and sing?
Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to Thee.
It's been such a blessing to be together this morning with the saints, with the family. And it's a blessing to have so many come this morning to indicate need